Why so serious? Get your crayon! Get your crayon! Get your crayon! Get your crayon!
Alright, welcome to the Howie Wave, episode 9, Mississippi here, and it's good to be back another week, more K-pop, and of course, Sandro-chan is here. First, we have three artists to cover this week. We have Orange Caramel, which is the subunit of After School, we have Secret, and then we have FT Island, in that order. Now, FT Island is the one that we are covering, kind of the full album. And, of course, you know, there's the signal and the music video, and that's I Wish. But for the first two, Orange Caramel, we have the single and music video for Lipstick. And then for Secret, we have the single and music video for Poison. So, very exciting, because I don't think, Sanjo, if I'm correct, you've reviewed any of these artists.
No, we haven't.
Sweet. And this is also, as we'll mention shortly, again, the first time we'll be reviewing an artist from Pletus Entertainment, I believe.
Yep.
So, probably a good thing, because I think I was on a Lowen track there for a while. I can't help it.
Also, if I remember correctly, I think Orange Caramel is partially Lowen, but, you know they're with Pletus, but that's, you know, pretty good, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, I have them, like, I'm always very confused, so, because I was thinking that... I was actually thinking that Secret might be more that, because Secret's in TS Entertainment, and I think that Orange Caramel is primarily Pletus. But who knows, because they have these giant super companies that just kind of control the K-pop world, and it's hard to keep up with. So anyways, though, let's go right into it and start off with Orange Caramel's Lipstick.
Lipstick sticks and gold.
Right off the bat, speaking for the video more than the song, I thought this was super cutesy, and I was kind of wondering, like, where they were going, because, and this is true throughout almost the whole music video, but it really takes place in just, like, literally, like, one or two rooms.
Yeah, looking at the video, I thought that the table was, like, backwards, and I have this, like, smile OCD, and you're... in a way, and then it's too small. Fix it.
Oh, yeah. Well, and so, if you haven't watched the video, I mean, basically, it shows kind of the girls of Orange Caramel, and they're playing ping pong amongst themselves. Very adorable, but, like super made up. Like, they have so much, like, makeup and, you know, lipstick on. But basically, after a little while, they see a gorgeous guy, from what I can tell by their reactions, and they're just kind of instantly in love, and sadly the guy ends up, you know, being defeated in ping pong, and then another challenger approaches, which is, in this case, Orange Caramel, to take his honor, and then it just kind of gets weird from there.
First, the guy that he loses to is a foreigner, which I've found out, I don't know if I'm correct or not, it's a StarCraft 2 player from France.
Nice. I had no idea. That's kind of hilarious. Well, cool. Well, so, again, the video itself is very cutesy, and I kind of like that feel and the ping pong feel, but how do you think, like, I guess, what did you think of the song?
It's, you know, really simple tune that two out of the way as, like, well, I don't know, Orange Caramel is kind of simple to begin with, and compared to After School, their parent unit, I guess if you call them that, you know, it's really simple and then tells a story of, I guess, of girl having, you know, wanting to see a man, but this man, but they had to put up against, I guess, with his fiance, and I thought that was pretty cute as well.
Yeah, are you getting that more from the lyrics then?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I wasn't sure, I guess, to the point of, like, how taken he was, and they probably did make it a little more clear, but yeah, I was just kind of amused by the English translation where they're talking about, it's like, oh my god, like, how do you look so good? And basically, like, you know, they're just madly in love and just trying to get this guy. And I thought, you know, like you said, I thought the music video, even though you have all that silliness kind of on the edge, really worked for that just by the way, like, there's a moment where the members of Orange Caramel are kind of peeking around the corner at him, then duck away when he looks, you know, all shy. And I guess, too, I mean, because... you know, trying to guess it yourself up, they kind of had that almost amateurish look, as if they maybe, you know, were putting too much makeup and, you know, trying so hard to impress this guy that they end up looking, again, I mean, it's cutesy, but they end up looking so made up.
That's what my initial reaction was, too.
Yeah, it's, it definitely works, though, so I thought... I was like, well, I know Orange Caramel tends to be a bit kind of, like you said, after school, especially something like Flashback, you know, much more edgy. So Orange Caramel kind of just taking it down and giving these girls a chance to show an entirely different side. Now, speaking to the song itself and kind of the sound of the song, like most K-pop songs, it, you know, was kind of dancey. And it actually reminded me of two different tiers, I think, in its simplicity.
Martin Filtuvik, I remember going back to their first single, Aang, from their first mini album, you know, it definitely had, like, maybe a little slightly retro, maybe more like a fairy tale feeling, but, and I'm impressed with their concept, which is more, you know, a modern QC, especially with the face painting they have, like, around their, under their eye. Under the eyes, I thought that was cute too.
Oh yeah, definitely. Well, and yeah, I couldn't decide. I guess if it was, because it definitely wasn't full retro. In a way, Secrets song that we're gonna get to shortly was a little more trying to very overtly be retro, but I felt like elements of it that were kind of like two different tiers, again, had that older feel, but then it had kind of the synth. And the synthesized sax, I believe. I don't think that was a real saxophone. Which kind of made it sound more like modern Tiara tracks. So, which I like. Again, I've already professed that, I think, once this episode. So, that kind of made me enjoy it a little more.
It's a video that's worth checking out for a few times. And the song itself, too, is also a little catchy. So, it's not the song we're singing. I'll listen to it another time. But, you know, it's... I recommend it to put on a playlist, maybe like a Saturday afternoon playlist. I thought it would be good, but yep, I recommend it.
Yeah, definitely for the adorable factor on the video and the silliness, I think I have to show it to friends. Because as the next song is going to exemplify the next music video, so much of K-pop is this overt, heavy sexiness, which has its place. But if I'm showing friends... different K-pop videos, I don't want to be constantly showing them that. So, yeah, for the music video alone, I'll totally be playing that. And for the song, I like your idea of kind of like a Saturday afternoon playlist, because, yeah, I could totally see myself, you know, just fitting it in and just, yeah, kind of having that peppy feel. It's not, you know, like too energetic to where you're, you know, like just want to be in a club, and it's definitely not too depressing to where you, you're sad or anything. I mean, it's not depressing at all. So, yep. No, I agree, and like the track.
Oh!
move on to Secret's Poison. Now, to talk about Secret a little, they were formed by TS Entertainment in 2009, and I've heard some of their tracks, but as opposed to, this happens a lot, especially since this is still a fairly new show, but there's definitely a number of EPs that I really just haven't ever listened to before.
The only song I'm familiar with of Secret is Madonna, so I don't follow them that much. So, yeah. But I was impressed with their music video for that, but as a group, I'm not so sure.
Well, and before we kind of go full into this review, let me ask you, having just watched Madonna too, what kind of image did they present with that song? Was it like super sexy? Was the song like...
Matches their image pretty well, and it was the music video was fun to watch because it takes back to not taking back but more of a slightly retro, I guess if you would call it neo retro image, because in most of the music video he had a band playing in the background, and it matches the mood of the song, and I enjoyed that very well. But I'm still, it's the song itself. It's not too convincing. It doesn't convince me that much to check out the group as a whole, because I bet Secret's like one of those groups that, they're just another girl group, but I'm looking forward to more to see if I'll change my mind about them.
Now, are you referring to Madonna track, or are you referring to...
Madonna.
Okay, just making sure. Well, then, that being said, what were your impressions?
This one tells a story of of a girl meeting a detective, which when you just read the title of the song, Poison, it's the girl is actually up to something. But I like the story behind it, but I find it also kind of distracting because they showed, I think they went back and forth with the dancing and the actual story, and the song, I don't know, I'm not sure. It's one of those songs that I probably wouldn't listen to regularly, though. But I probably will watch the video a few more times just to judge to see if it's worth watching, taking Secret in.
Yeah, I'm not going to disagree about your story part at all, and I'll get to that, my thoughts on that in a second. But second of all, just as a song alone, because I finally had to stop watching the music video to understand everything that was going on and to take in all the sights and just set my phone or computer aside, I really, really liked the song. Right at the beginning, it had that sax just kind of drive everything out front. It was a very rocking opening. And again, more so maybe with the music video, but some with the song, again, which is kind of the sexy, saxophone element, had, kind of the retro feel, but still a totally modern, upbeat tempo. Getting to the story, it took me a couple times to watch it, because I think that I was paying attention to just a lot of different things in the music video, and then all of a sudden, I was like, oh, wait, okay, this girl just shot some guys, and what it ends with, and I don't know if I want to spoil it, it's a short music video, so you can go watch it, and it's like, it ends like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like it was open-ended.
I think there's an element that's open-ended, but, well, no, actually, I take that back. From my perspective, once I kind of pieced the clues together, I thought it was pretty cut and dry. Here's just kind of my thoughts. What I got was the beginning of the music video is basically the part right before the end of the music video. That's important. So, after girl does her sexy interest to the detective's office, you cut to, like a dancing kind of old style club scene, and you see all the members, and you can kind of tell they're communicating with each other. It's not, super subtle. They're basically interacting. Now, the part where it starts getting weird in terms of, like, what's driving them for the rest of the music video is when one of the members leans in over a guy and basically kind of puts her hand over and reveals this tattoo on the back of his neck. And then all the other girls are like, oh, okay, I know what's going on. And, of course, we're like, what? But at that point, then I feel that one of the girls gets caught. And so the guy, probably that guy with the tattoo and other guys that are related and connected to whatever is going on, basically then, you know, hold a gun against this girl. The other girls come out and shoot them. Mm-hmm. And then steal a diamond. Now, the way I think that it becomes more closed is that the detective is on to them. There's a number of scenes, especially at the end, where you kind of have this flashback, like the lighter being dropped. And she honestly almost seems like she gives it away, because she brings back the lighter to the detective. And maybe he hasn't pieced the clues together, or what, but either way, again, spoiler, but she thinks he's a liability and thus introduces the poison. So that's just my thoughts.
The music video confusing, I guess, because the way it, you know, it starts, but then, like, so the dancing, the choreography, and the story itself was, you know, it was stretched, I guess, made it longer than it should be, so I guess I should, like, watch it again and decide that maybe, you know, that was alright then. But I think this is the type of song that should have, well, the music video, or, well, type of song that should have a dance version, I guess, to also help.
I agree for many reasons, but yeah, because I feel that this narration that they infused too, while I enjoyed it, because it's very film noir, kind of choppy, mm-hmm. hard to follow, almost Hitchcockian. I agree. You don't really get to see the full dance. And so, okay, now talking about the dance, though, and really just the whole music video. I think that Eat Your Kimchi probably wouldn't be a fan of this music video to some degree. Because, my God, like, I thought Hyuna's videos had kind of, like, all-out, I guess, you know, like, sexy kind of energy. And in some ways, hers may be still more too obvious, and this may still have some level of subtlety, or not subtlety, but maybe some level of class, because it definitely doesn't feel subtle. But right from the opening, again, the detective, I don't know which member of Secret that is, but looked amazing. Like, no wonder that, you know, she dropped poison in his glass over him, and you heard the glass clink.
If he had, you know, if he wasn't so distracted, if he looked at the cup and looked at the glass and see that it was fizzing a little, that say, oh, wait, she spiked that.
Yeah, no, he was still like, oh, mama. So, but yeah, so that's still the music video part. But even that, so that same member of Secret that kind of starts at the opening, then is at the beginning of the dance, and I have not seen such gravity-defying movement. And I mean, technically, they're the girl's assets, so they're maybe not totally gravity-defying in the sense that they're doing what she's doing. But they have her bounce so much, and then they cut to the girl that does the, like, amazing flexibility leg thing. And this whole time, I'm kind of like, so are we dancing, or are we just showing off? So, and that's why, aside from just, yeah, kind of taking the story element of it, that's why I'm curious about the dance. Because I'm not really sure. All I see is these moments of, again, I mean, to me, some of them pretty sexy, but moments of just, like, okay.
I understand completely, and if I remember correctly, I think they were told to change the dance a bit because of that.
I would not be surprised.
Yeah.
You know, they talked about with Kara and Pandora, you know, not having non-revealing back clothes that were still on them. And, like, these girls totally probably have more clothes than Kara and yet still defied. And I don't know. Not surprised at all that they were asked to change.
Yeah.
Well, I guess, and if you have anything more to say on the song and the music video, by all means.
Still doesn't, you know, now that you said it, I would watch the video again, but as for the song, I'm not satisfied with the song as well, no, as that much. I stick with Madonna, that's my favorite song, only a favorite song by them. But music video I watch again just to have a second opinion.
Yeah. Well, for me, kind of, I like a lot of elements of this song. Again, especially the song itself really kind of drew me in. And I think what my favorite part is you have this awesome bridge with the rapper. But more than that, the rapper is kind of seamlessly brought in, and you almost forget. Like, sometimes it's so obvious in K-pop songs. You're like, okay, chorus, verse, mm-hmm. rap, chorus. And in this, it was like verse, rap, verse, you know, kind of all blending together. And it not only didn't take me out of the song and distract me, but it made mm-hmm. me really like the song that much more. So I guess for me, while I will watch the music video some more, and like you said, Sancho, hopefully await a dance version, I will definitely have to put the song on a regular playlist. Lastly this evening, or day, whenever you're listening to the show, we are covering FT Island. So FT Island stands for Five Treasure Island, and I honestly did not know that to today, and I even know a decent amount about like FT Island's music, and apparently I missed that. But anyways, they are a rarity. Because they are a five member, that's not rare, South Korean, that's not rare either, pop rock band. You hear that? Band. So, yes, they actually play their own instruments, which is very cool. And they're under the label FNC Music, or Mnet Media, in Korea. And, well, we are going to talk about them today. And specifically talk about the album Five Treasure Box and the single and music video I Wish. So, starting off, it's already impressive to me in many ways that they play instruments, which feels odd because it's a norm in many countries' music, and K-pop, especially the indie scene, certainly has its share of musicians. And we have more. I mean, we have AOA joining the bunch. CN Blue, I believe. Don't they play their own instruments? Yeah. Okay, so it's not totally rare, mm-hmm. but still, it's always very cool to me. So, I think that's actually what's led me to check them out in the past.
Yeah, pretty much like mostly, I guess, Western-style music is rare in South Korea because, you know, like back in the late 70s, 80s, they were, you know, they didn't like, you know, Western music that much, so they had their own, and anyone that tried to push Western music, you know, into the culture, they would get punished for it, but now it's all over the place. And that goes for rock music as well, because, going back to a little history, you have So Taiji, which, before he, was in a band, So Taiji and Boys, he was in an indie band, you know, a few couple years before, he, made his debut with the group, and the band didn't do very well, so that's why he went with, you know, the So Taiji Boys, and you know the story how they went on TV and performed in front of middle age or age group, I guess, in their 40s and 50s, and they weren't as impressed much until they went on to more shows and they blew up overnight pretty much. And then after So Taiji left, after they broke up, after Yang Hyung Sub founded YG, and Legion O went off to wherever you went to, being a father, wherever he is now. So Taiji went solo, and even after he left South Taiji Boys, he's now an icon in the Korean rock world. So I guess it's because of him that, there's more bands, coming up, revealing themselves, even though it's very slow. There's only a few bands, extra bands that I can think of, and, but there's still more pop groups, that don't play their instruments. But yeah, I think FT Island was the first group, that broke that barrier before CN Blue.
Oh, awesome. I knew there was a reason that I knew a little more in terms of, I guess maybe they have more years as they have more music than CN Blue, but I didn't realize that they were even, a part of kind of breaking this barrier, and as you say, kind of the continual push for more rock music and K-pop, so that's very cool to know. Well, I guess getting right to the album as a whole, and the single, of course, I just wanted to say that I already, just right off the bat with the single, and then with most of the tracks, really kind of just liked it pretty early on. But I was worried that all the songs were going to be very much the same, because I feel this is the same way with CN Blue too. But a lot of theirs seem to be this kind of mellow rock style. It almost kind of reminds me of certain, 90s American rock groups that were, more top 40. And so while I like that, especially since I don't know the lyrics, certain songs tend to kind of feel more similar over time. Thankfully, right off the bat, I Wish did not do that for me. It did not suggest to me that, I thought, okay, if every song was like I Wish, I think I would like it. But it was very, diverse. It kind of started with this kind of cool Spanish-sounding opening, but then it had a transition to, a more typical rock piece. And then it did become kind of their light rock flavor, which I guess is what kept me still worried for some of the other tracks. But it was diverse enough to where I really liked it.
Like you said, this doesn't sound the same as, the tracks on the album, but it doesn't sound the same as the previous tracks. And I have a handful of tracks of FT Island that I favorite, such as Missing You, Love, 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 Batgirl, and their most recent one from their fourth mini album that was released earlier this year, Severely. And, this is another song that, I accept as another FT Island song.
Yeah, Severely I loved. So I was kind of, I guess that's too where I'm like, I hope they mature some. And yeah, I feel they have. And what's particularly most interesting to me, getting to, I guess, the full album and talking about that, is that a lot of it really has elements that I would say are even more international than K-pop usually is. And frankly, when I'm thinking of example artists, yes, 90s American groups, but J-pop, especially artists like Flo, Aqua Times, and even Elegarden, as punk as they are.
Probably some, not the groups you mentioned, but maybe some more indie J-pop groups. That's, it does sound a lot like that. But also, I compare that with El Talent's first album. The first album didn't impress me that much because it had that distinct Korean sound. And if I can remember to cover it in the next episode or on the side or whatever, it sounds a lot like other Korean songs back in the era, which was, I guess, 2007 or 2008 when they first made their debut. So, yeah, this is, a real change, and improvement from the previous albums.
Well, I'm wondering, too, so since you mentioned that, I was reading that it looks like FT Island was one of the artists, and really early on.
Yes, they did.
I don't necessarily hear about that with them. I mean, I hear about all these other artists, a little later, I guess. So maybe that exposure, not just to Japanese fans and knowing that, you know, they have to cater to them, but, you know, exposure to maybe Japanese musicians that they might hear or ones they might hear in Korea really has kind of helped them.
That's a good thing to think of. That's something to think about.
Yeah, it's always the beauty and the challenge of any kind of music review or commentary is you can always, you know, if you put a good argument together, sound great, but it's hard to ever know. Well, I guess focusing more on the single and then returning back to the album. So again, I was kind of really grabbed in just with the Spanish opening, whether it's Gain's album or others that kind of have the Spanish flair. I just kind of really like it when they do it, because not only do I think I like that music style anyways, but it's just kind of so unique to K-pop. Maybe not if they keep doing it, but at the moment, it's still fairly unique. And so I like that. But the music video, while I think the music video really fit the lyrics, which is basically just, like, at least the English translation of the lyrics, basically like, hey, you know, I kind of, it's not like that XX in the sense that there's another guy that he's angry at, but it's like, I wish I could be with you. How can I be with you? So, kind of like Orange Caramel's lipstick, although, again, I'm not sure if there's another guy in the picture. Or, in this case, no, it would be another guy in the picture, sorry. And you, so this actually took me a couple, I hate to admit, views, but it took me a while to really realize, okay, so the FT Island music video for I Wish, it really is the different band members dating the one girl. It's not just the one guy at different time periods.
Yeah, maybe they're telling their own story of, you know, of wishing to be with the girl, I guess, you know, from their own perspective, I guess.
Yeah, you'd think it'd have to be, because just the way they do so many of these music videos, where they're all talking about loss and it's all the same girl, like either they all should realize they're all trying to go after the same girl at some point, or more likely, like you're saying, she's kind of just representative for the girls that they're, you know, going after in their own lives, or, you know, that they love in their own lives that may not love them back. Now, because that's a fairly familiar idea, and maybe because FT Island does do these slower songs for the most part, I mean, it had some kind of rock to it, but, you know, I mean, it's still kind of an emotional song.
I agree with you, but, you know, unlike, you know, the previous music video review, I thought, you know, this one, I thought it was pretty Western style and understandable from the tone of the song, but it was alright, but, you know, nothing special.
Yeah, honestly, the coolest part to me had nothing to do with the girls and the guy, or the girl and the guys. It was all just watching the FT Island player do the guitar.
Yep.
I was like, that's awesome. And even kind of, I guess even more of that, kind of my second favorite, very, very close second, was, like you said, it had kind of Western elements because it's a rock music video. So the way they would cut back from the emotional scenes with the guy and the girl, either on dates or hanging out, whatever the case may be, and then to kind of the really dramatic, you know, rock band, you know, front and center, just kind of seeing them play, which just made them more awesome to me. So whether I care about the emotion behind the song or not, I will always still like the video for that. I probably won't watch it.
Too, agree.
Now, going back to the album.
My favorite track is track 2, which, you know, it's, you know, reminds me of their other songs, but, you know, different, and I don't have a translation of the lyrics, I mean, of the title, but you see, something you can listen to over again, even though it's not the main track, and, you know, that's my favorite, but the other tracks, towards the end of the album, it gets kind of slower, I guess, the mood gets slower compared to the earlier tracks, and, you know, that's what I noticed about the album, you know, that it's alright, the album's okay, but it's like, I think it's one of those albums that you will buy only a few tracks from, but it's, you know, so I, you know, recommend checking it out, though, if you're curious of, you know, listening to a band instead of a pop group.
Yeah, in some ways, I agree that there are, I mean, yeah, there's definitely some slow parts. I liked One Ago, though. I thought that one kind of had some energy, and actually the last track, Let It Go, I thought kind of brought the Ella Garden feel, kind of a lighter Ella Garden, so basically like like punk kind of feel back into it. But yeah, it's much more an album in the traditional sense of the word, in the way that we would view albums, especially maybe even our parents, you know, would view albums, where you listen to the full album. So maybe certain tracks don't stick out. And yes, if you were to buy it on iTunes, you might not buy every track. But if you were to buy an album, the experience would probably be worth it. But most people don't do that. So yeah, you might pick out. And you know, I'm no different. I've picked out a couple favorites that I will probably listen to instead.
When you think about it, maybe they should have released, this should have been their fifth mini album instead of, like, their fourth mini album, which they released earlier this year with Sapirly. And, you know, I think, you know, mini albums are, you know, better because you only have a few tracks and they have, you know, you can listen to the whole thing easily and only have, like, one least favorite track. But that whole album, yes, I think, you know, it's very, you know, slim pickings depending on your taste of the music and the group itself.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, especially, I mean, if you already listen to one of their songs and you don't like it, you won't like most of their songs. Because they are similar enough to where, you know, within a certain range, you're probably, you know, I mean, I'd still say give it a few more songs than just one, but you're probably, you know, at best gonna like the singles. So I'm kinda curious, and this is something that there's really no answer for that I'm aware of, but why certain groups do release mini albums versus full albums. And I think that for FT Island it's a little more natural because, again, a rock group, so not every song is a dance song. So like, again, most, you know, American modern rock, or even better, kind of the lighter fare of the 90s, the late 90s at least, you have some really good singles, but you may have some that are just kind of, I mean, they're nice, but you're not going to necessarily, you know, try to go back to it. While with, like, a Big Bang, where, one, there's so much pressure, but two, they are almost, like, club-driven. So their goal is to put out these singles that are going to be hugely popular.
Probably. But I also think when you, something you mentioned earlier, I forget, but something I want to add to that, I guess many albums, if it's a group that's new or hasn't released anything in a while, they would release many albums first so they can get interest and bring people who lost interest back into, you know, the flow of things. And, you know, that's what my understanding is. And I guess for FT Island having released 4 mini albums and 4 studio albums, you know, that's, and the type of music they play, I think that's why they have no more mini albums. Because I got confused a bit too when I was looking up the album. It said 4th mini album, and no, well, this is the 4th album we're reviewing, but 4th mini album, which features Sapirly, I got confused because I thought it was on the same album, but that's something to think about.
Yeah, no, I was equally confused, so yeah, I know what you mean. That was pretty much the end of our FT Island review. Well, that is pretty much it for me and for us, so yay. And yeah, time to close out the show. So, of course, if you want to follow us, you can do that a number of ways. You can follow the show on Facebook and like us, facebook.com/thehallyuwave. You can message us on Gmail, send in a written email or even an MP3 comment or a question. If you want it played on the show, we can probably do that. And that's hallyuwavepodcast@gmail.com. If you want to follow me specifically, then just go to Twitter, twitter.com/TokyoTowerWAWL.
I can be reached on Twitter at Sanjo_Chan, which is SanjoChan. And you can check out my otaku blog, Sentakume, which can be found at CentakuMe.info.
Awesome. Very cool. Well, thanks everybody for tuning in again. And we've got a busy few weeks ahead of us. So it's a good thing we don't mention like the dates and stuff too often, because we might have to pre-record some shows to make it easier for our life, but we'll take care of everything. In the meantime, thank you for listening, and be sure to tell any of your K-pop friends about us. You can find us on iTunes. Just search HallyuWave, H-A-L-L-Y-U, space wave. Check out our past episodes. Some of them have been very popular, including where we've covered Psy. So definitely check those out. And we will cover G-Dragon's EP next week, bring in Nick, and talk about One of a Kind. But for now, that is so. Have a good night.
Bye.
Bye.